How many people work in your firm currently?
We have about 60 people, about half of that on the investment side of the firm and about half of that on the back office or administrative side of the firm.
Right, and so you're leading, you know, 60 people, interacting with a lot of clients as well. You know, as you know, this is a class on leadership. What is your management and leadership style, and how do you do it?
It's a great question. First of all, I think one of the things that maybe this makes me different from a lot of people in my position, but I don't think a whole lot about being a leader most of the time. Mm-hmm. That I go to work, I know what my responsibilities are, other people know what theirs are, and we just try to do our job. Our goal for our company is to be excellent, not to be the biggest, not to be the most profitable, to do the best possible job. And we turn away clients. We've been closed to new clients for years. We don't charge the highest fee we could get away with charging. We keep our fees where they've been for years and years. So a lot of what drives us is that determination to do an excellent job, to be proud of what we do. If I had to pick one thing that characterizes my management or leadership style, I think it's probably do unto others. And I feel like I can step into other people's shoes and understand what would they like, what would make them feel good about working at our company, what would feel like inappropriate request, a double jeopardy situation where I held them accountable for something more than fairly so. And so I think a lot about how to get the most out of people, how to motivate them to work in the firm's best interest, and how to do it while they feel great about doing it.
Hmm. So I'm trying to see a picture. You come to the office in the morning, and then, I mean, what does it look like? What does your work day look like?
One of the great things about the investment business is you don't know what your day is going to be like till you get in. That you could think, today I'm going to focus on this, but then the markets change or something, some news development happens, and all of a sudden you're focusing on something else. That when our firm was much, much smaller in the early years, I would be not only the president of the firm, but also the only investment analyst of the firm. Today we have almost 20 investment analysts, and so I have stepped back from following positions myself and have seen the younger people in the firm grow and develop and in some cases become partners in the firm. So I am still the gatekeeper. If somebody wants to make an investment, they have to get it through me. But I'm not initiating ideas, or if I am initiating, I'm handing them off and then they're coming back. My day could involve anything from sitting down to talk about investments in a variety of areas. Our firm is global in scope. We cover public markets and private markets, ranging from debt to equity to real estate to private investments. So it could be a broad variety of investments. I could be talking to clients or meeting with clients, working with staff across the firm, interviewing for new staff, and once in a while, teaching or doing some other community activity.
Hmm. So, you know, again, you're incredibly busy, and yet you do work, philanthropic work. You spend a lot of your time there. First of all, where do you find the time? And second, you know, why do you do it?
Yeah, there's an old saying that if you want something done, ask a busy person to do it. And I guess there is some shred of truth to that. I just feel a huge obligation to give back. I know I'm very lucky, that I'm lucky to have been able to start a business and for the business to have been successful. Some of it's due to hard work and skill, but some of it is due to the right place and the right time. And I think that all of us have an obligation to leave places better than when we got there. Whether it's an institution like Harvard or whether it's the world. And so I feel like with the economic opportunity that I've had and the opportunity to play a leadership role in making the world a better place, that I couldn't live with myself if I weren't working hard both on the business front but also on the philanthropic front.
And what do you see your role on the philanthropic side? I mean, so it's donating money would be one, but I know you're involved beyond that.
I'm a really big believer in leading by example. So first and foremost, I think you can't expect other people to give of their money or their time if you're not doing that. I also think it's just a natural sense that I have that you would want to match your money with your time. So where you're spending a lot of money, investing a lot of money into the future, you probably want to give time to make sure the money's well spent. And vice versa, if you're spending a lot of time, it probably makes sense that those would also be among the places you're giving the most money to have the most impact of your time. I also think that probably as a philanthropic leader, one of the things I can do best is lead by example, in the sense that sometimes organizations are stuck. Sometimes people want to do more, but they haven't been asked the right way, or they haven't been inspired the right way. Something as simple as I joined the board of my daughter's school a number of years ago. The largest annual gift, I think, was $10,000 a year for a school of their reputation. I thought that, and knowing what other schools do, I thought $25,000 wouldn't hurt the top echelon of donors. And I was in a board meeting that actually had to leave, and I dramatically said, I'm leaving now, but before I do, I'm raising my annual gift to $25,000. And I hope other people consider doing that too. And I heard the next day that after I left, eight of them did. So just breaking a logjam, if you will, sometimes is the most powerful thing. Anybody could have done it, but somebody had to do it.